In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I will tell you a bit of an aside, a funny story. Once when I was preaching in a congregation, the phone in one of the pockets of one of the people in the congregation went off, and he answered it in the middle of the sermon. Well, today is Mother's Day.
Joan, was it God?
No, but he said it might have been.
Okay.
He wasn't sure. He was a Lutheran pastor.
Okay. I just wondered.
Today is Mother's Day, a day when we take time to acknowledge and give thanks for our mothers and for all those in our lives who have been or who are a nurturing presence for us. Today, May 8th, also happens to be the feast day of Julian of Norwich. She was an early 15th century mystic and visionary. And her visions are recorded, gathered together in a spiritual classic, Revelations of Divine Love. She speaks at one point of Jesus, our mother, and of God as both mother and father. Now, Julian was not speaking about gender. She was giving voice to a symbolic way of talking about the qualities of God. Motherhood is symbolically associated with nurture, with birth, with creativity. And so today we can celebrate and give thanks for all of those people that God has provided to us to help us give new birth to all that we can be. Now, to switch gears a bit, today we've heard a portion of the gospel from John. It's known as the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. It is a prayer in which Jesus asks God to protect and nurture his disciples. A prayer, one might say, that calls on God to exercise those qualities of nurture, creativity, and new birth in the disciples, those things that they will need in the days and years ahead. Now, if you haven't already noticed, the Gospel of John is significantly different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Gospel of John is poetic, by which I mean that the words that he chooses have a definition, but they also have a deeper, more intuitive meaning beyond that surface definition. John's gospel is symbolic. Concrete and specific objects and events reach beyond their concrete reality to represent concepts or ideas. And finally, John is a mystical gospel. And what I mean by that is that the Gospel of John addresses those things of the spirit and of the soul which cannot be seen or touched. So for these reasons, John's Gospel cannot be taken only at face value, but requires some work to understand. So let me set the stage a bit. The disciples have gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. It's Passover week. They've eaten together. Jesus has washed their feet, and Judas has gone out to betray Jesus to the authorities. Jesus has gathered the rest of the disciples around him and has summarized the whole of his teaching ministry one last time. He said things like this: "Love one another as I have loved you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Believe in me. You will do greater things than I have done. I will send the Holy Spirit to teach you all you need to know, to remind you of all that I have said. Love. Testify. Bear fruit. Believe." Now the disciples, being the disciples, hear these words and they have questions. Where are you going? How is this to be? Show us more clearly. Finally, these people who have given much to follow Jesus think they understand. Of course, they don't. Not really. This is knowledge that can only be acquired by living into the teaching, by acting on Jesus' words, by trusting in Jesus' promises. We come to this knowledge by faith over time. And so in that upper room, Jesus blesses them. Blesses them with words of peace. And he also gives them some images to help them remember. He talks about the vine and the branches, which make up a whole plant. He talks about a house with many rooms that makes up a complete dwelling. And so we come to today's reading. This is the reading in which Jesus offers the disciples his friends to God. Imagine the disciples still gathered around Jesus. Imagine them thinking, oh, okay, now we got it. We understand. These were simple people. They were used to dealing with simple things, real things, with fish and boats. They were used to dealing with illness and health, with taxes and crops and Roman soldiers. Not unlike you and I. Jesus' prayer is meant to be heard by these disciples that are gathered around. It is also meant to be heard down through the century by us today. It is not a classic prayer of petition, although Jesus does ask several things of God. It is not so much a prayer for what the disciples will need. It's more of a description of how the disciples are to be. They are to be one, as Jesus and God are one. They are to be in Jesus, as Jesus is in God and God is in them. This language of oneness, of being in the Father, as the Father is in them, must have been confusing to the disciples. At least, I think it must have been confusing to them because it's confusing to me. They knew life was changing, but they didn't know how. And they weren't sure they liked it. Jesus had told them that he was going away. And so confusion and fear were perhaps their primary emotions. What could all of this possibly mean for them? And what can it possibly mean for us? This prayer that Jesus asks of God, a prayer meant to be overheard by the disciples and, centuries later, by each one of us, is, in a few words, a poetic, symbolic, and mystical description of what we are called to be. We are called to be one with God. One with Jesus and one with one another. Out of truly being one in all of these levels, out of that being one is what we are called to do as Christians. Being one in God has for me four levels or aspects, and they're all connected together into a wholeness that God desires for us. So imagine a small circle, maybe the size of a walnut, or even a mustard seed. This is the inner circle of that oneness about which Jesus speaks. It's the core, and that core is love. The love that God has for us, the love Jesus has for God and for us, and the love we are called to have for one another. Jesus tells his disciples in these final hours, love one another as I have loved you. Now imagine a second circle that surrounds the first. Jesus prays, "The glory you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we, Father, are one." This circle is the circle of faith. Now, I don't usually talk about what a Greek word means. But in this case, it's important. For the Greek word that we translate glory really means to believe or to think. At least one of its meanings is that. What Jesus is asking of God for the disciples is the gift of faith. Faith is, first of all, a gift, something given to us. God gives us the ability to believe out of God's love for us. Now, imagine again this core circle, the circle of faith, surrounded again by another circle. The third circle of oneness is the aspect of mission. The purpose of all of this that has gone before and all that comes after, all that the disciples will endure after the crucifixion, all of this, the purpose is mission. Jesus prays, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Remember, the disciples are listening to this prayer. This is their charge for the future: to witness, to testify, to tell others what they have experienced in Christ. It is our charge for the future as well. Now there's one more circle. It surrounds the first three. And this quality, this circle of oneness, is the quality of community. What began as a small group of disciples ultimately became the Christian community, the church. Jesus prays that that community will be one. Not necessarily one in all that they think or practice, but rather more importantly, one in love, in faith, in mission. Having completed his prayer, Jesus leaves the security of that upper room and goes into the garden, where he will be betrayed and arrested. The teaching ministry of Jesus is finished. The teaching ministry of the disciples is about to begin. I imagine in the years that followed, those disciples often heard the echo of that prayer of Jesus, as they were meant to do, as we are meant to do. Words and phrases that speak of what we are to be. One, in God, God in us, whole, full of faith. Words and phrases about what we are to do. Love, witness, have courage, and be filled with peace.